Okay, let's open our Bibles, if you would please, to Psalm 8, Psalm chapter 8. I'd like to take a few minutes and look at one of the Messianic Psalms. Of course, when you look at the Messianic Psalms, there's about a dozen and a half of those out of the 150 Psalms. And each of those point to the Lord Jesus in a unique way. Many of them are portions that are quoted in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Hebrews or Acts or Matthew. And other places, but those are where we often find these Messianic Psalms. So we'll be turning to Hebrews in a few moments. And so when we think of some of these Psalms, the entirety of the Psalm reminds us of the Lord Jesus. Other times it may be just a portion of the chapter. But as we look at Psalm 8 a little bit, we see the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Interesting that when you look at the subscript, perhaps you may have beside chapter 8 in your Bible, where it says to the chief musician upon Githath or Gath. We think a Psalm of David. And so the background there, of course, is you think about David and Goliath, that man from Gath, that giant. So, of course, that story, we're reminded of how the people wanted a king. And they kept pushing for a king, and they wanted a big man named Saul. The Lord eventually said, go ahead, you can have him, after he kind of warned him what it would be like. And then a bigger man came along named Goliath. And so we see how the Lord then used the man that we know of as a man after God's own heart to defeat Goliath. So it's interesting to kind of think of that background and a dependence upon the Lord and his strength. And so we begin reading in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, or Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah our Master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, Jehovah, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So we see this short psalm beginning and ending with this wonderful phrase, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So as we look sometimes at some of the names of God, some of the compound names of God, here we find one of those, Jehovah our Adonai, O Lord our Lord. And so with this name of God, we see pointing to him and his excellency. Perhaps we're reminded of the great attributes of God, because here in verse 1 he says, who has set thy glory or majesty above the heavens. So of course when we think of heaven, we think of the third heaven and in the heaven, outer space, and then around the atmosphere, in that sense of the various heavens. But as you think of the glory, the majesty is above the heavens. Who he is, his majesty, his person, his character, his attributes. The Lord himself is above everything. As you look to things as later in this chapter, creation reminds us of his wonder and his beauty. But his glory is above all of that. His glory is above the heavens. And so, as we read here, we think about a quote here from verse 2 that ties in Matthew 21. I'd like to maybe move there for a moment. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. So the Lord uses the weak things. That's an interesting thought from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 reminds us of that. And yet here we see out of the mouth of babes. In Matthew 21, as we see the Lord moving toward the cross, and if you see there in verse 12, we see Jesus in the temple, and then dropping to verse 15, we see the chief priests and scribes, they're finding fault with him. And with that, we read in verse 15, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased, and said unto him, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?'" And so one's crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And yet the Lord used this wonderful example of praise to his name to actually quote from a messianic psalm. And so with that, if you're still there in Psalm 8, he goes on to speak about because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. It's interesting. Remember the backdrop of this story? We think of David and Goliath. Here we think of an enemy. We think of a victory. And so the psalmist, by the Spirit of God, could pin these words in this kind of analogy of victory over an avenger, over an enemy. David had seen that right up close there with Goliath at the beginning of his story in Scripture. And so in verse 3 of our text, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." So again, we're pointing now, we think of looking at creation round about and how wonderful the Lord is displayed through creation. Even a few chapters later, like in chapter 19, it just speaks about the heavens, declare the glory of God. In the firmament showeth his handiwork. That yet another Davidic Psalm of David. So we consider the heavens. We see the work of his fingers. Again, it reminds us of the Creator, but had a note here. It's interesting that sometimes you see a reference to God, and we think of God in heaven, and yet using like body parts as an analogy, speaking of creation or deliverance, kind of a metaphoric language. I think some use that term anthropomorphous, kind of a technical term of using a body as an analogy of the God of heaven and something he's doing. And so we see the work of his fingers. So with that, we press on and we see a question. "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" So, you know, we think of mankind as you read some of these, continuing these verses, and we see man having been given dominion over creation and our role is distinct from the animals and the plants and such as that. But the larger point is to see these verses point to Christ and to see about the reminder of this one, the Son of Man. Now, again, when you think about the study of the person of Christ, you see terms like the Son of Man, or the Son of God, and all these different aspects of who the Lord Jesus is. It's interesting, the Son of Man. We find that term as the Lord interacts with the prophet Ezekiel a lot, Son of Man. We see in Daniel, when the Lord is showing the times of the Gentiles and how eventually that the Lord himself, his authority will be seen clearly and reign supreme. Revelation, we see there is a picture there of that one in that vision in Revelation. We see the Son of Man. We see there with Stephen in Acts 7 before he's martyred. And we see how as he's being stoned to death after speaking about history of the Old Testament and linking it to Christ, and he's being stoned to death, he sees the Son of Man standing there. And we see, again, we think of authority. We think of this one that took the low place, but yet he's God, a very God, the Son of Man. So with this, let's let's tie this into Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 2 for a little bit. Hebrews chapter 2. Again, many of the Messianic Psalms will eventually take you to Hebrews. Hebrews is a book that speaks about Christ. Compared to the things of the Old Testament, Christ is better. And in the first two chapters, we see that Christ is better than the angels. And so that fits in right well with what we have in our teaching of Psalm 8, because it's going to speak about the Son of Man, and yet it's in connection, him being made a little lower than the angels. Again, angels are a mere creation. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, is the Creator. And yet we see his willingness to take the low place, that he would be able to save us, another creature. Of course, he identifies with us as man. He doesn't die for the angels, but he died for man. And so in Hebrews, the chapter 1 begins with showing Christ as superior in seven different aspects, verses 1 to 3. When you come to verse 4, it jumps right into that first section of Christ is better than the angels. It says in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So he'll go through quoting Old Testament after Old Testament. Here's another Messianic Psalm quoted in verse 5, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And so he's building this case that when you take that Psalm 2 and that quote, it points to different times in the New Testament, a declaration that was made about this one, the one who's the high priest, the one who's the incarnate one, the one who is the resurrected one, all tied in with Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. But then in verse 6, he establishes, and let all the angels of God worship him. Why? Because he's better than the angels. The angels worship him. He goes on and kind of a rhetorical argument here, you know, but, you know, which of the angels would he say such a thing as this? Verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so he's establishing so clearly this one, Christ, is better than the angels. So we go on to chapter 2, connected chapter, and we pick up there in chapter 2. And we'll notice there in verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, here's Psalm 8, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. So just to read another few verses here, we kind of see the connection here with what the Lord was willing to do. As it says in our text, he was willing to be made a little lower than the angels. Verse 8 continues, but now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And so, you know, I had a little sentence or a couple sentences here. It kind of gives the flow of what we're thinking about a little bit here. Thinking about this one, Christ, the Creator, yet the one made a little lower than the angels. It's hard to kind of really think about that in practical terms, but we see the Scripture teaching us. For example, we think of dominion that's brought up in this chapter. Adam, a man, was given dominion over creation. Satan, an angel, became the god of this age after his deception of Eve resulted in man's fall. Thus, the Son of Man was made a little lower than the angels by becoming man so that he might redeem man, resulting in redeemed man one day judging angels and to rule and reign with this risen, exalted Son of Man, Son of God. Finally, when death is ultimately defeated and God has put all things under the sun, except Corinthians 15, it says, except himself, God will be all in all, while Satan and the fallen angels are forever in the lake of fire. It's amazing to think about this one, the Lord Jesus. As we go back to our text of Psalm 8, willing to take the low place. And yet, as the chapter began, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So this one, as our text of Psalm 8:5 speaks of, crowned with glory and honor. And then we read in verse 6, again, about things tying in with the creation of his hands. Verse 6, 7, and 8 gives examples of what he has created. Then in verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So tonight we can just be encouraged again in the Lord Jesus and think about the one who is creator of all. His glory is above the heavens. His majesty is above the heavens. He created mankind. He created the animals. He created plants. He created the angels. And yet he was willing to take that low place, lower than the angels, that he might redeem man specifically.